This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 51, sponsored by ComicHole.com. Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode 51. I am Josh, and I'm here with Ron.
Hey!
And a very sleepy Connor.
Hello!
This is iFanboy Good Morning Edition. Good morning!
Sometimes circumstances force us to do this at a time when we're not all at our most awakeness.
It hurts.
And a little hungover.
A little bit.
But I believe last night you said, I don't even get hungover.
No, I didn't say that. Ron
yes,
said
you
that.
Did.
No, I Ron said that, and I disagreed vehemently.
So Ron holds you up as some sort of pillar of strength.
He does.
My man doesn't get tired. My man doesn't get cranky. My man eat 50 eggs. So anyway, at iFanboy.com, we like to read comics. We have a website where we talk about comics at iFanboy.com. And every week, we all read a bunch of comics, but one of us will pick out the one that we think is best, and we write up a review about it and put it on the website, and then we talk about it on the podcast here, and anything else that comes to our fancy. Just before we get started, we always like to give the warning that it's a review show. We're going to talk about the books that came out this past Wednesday, which was a date that I don't remember.
We always go for the date, and we always fail.
I know. It's like the 11th. Voicemail number.
October 11th.
October 11th, as time flies by. Anyway, we'll be talking about books, so if you haven't read them yet, you may want to wait a few days and then read them and then listen to us, because it might be a little better then. And we don't want to ruin anything for you. This week, Connor was up, so wake up and get started.
This week sucked. I mean, there was just nothing good. There was some okay stuff, but there was nothing really, really good. And there was
How big was your stack?
Like 9 books.
That's a pretty big week.
It wasn't a small week. It just wasn't very good. I mean, there was a string of 4 or 5 books in a row that were just terrible, and I wanted to commit suicide because I had to finish them because I had to do this podcast. And so the most enjoyable of the mediocre bunch was Green Arrow number 67, which I know Josh just dropped with this issue.
Yep.
Oh, the irony.
Too bad for you, Josh.
It was good.
This was the training episode or issue, which I always like, where you find how the hero becomes, not so much the hero, but how the hero learns his skills. And one of the things coming out of 1 year later was that Green Arrow was suddenly this super badass that he wasn't before. He could take out Deathstroke the Terminator, and everybody had all this much more respect for him. He had a sword, and how did that happen? So this is the flashback to how Green Arrow became that way. And it was pretty cool, actually. He's off on an island with his 2 sidekicks, and he's being trained by a psychotic assassin, and it's a great cliffhanger, and some really cool fight scenes, which Scott McDaniel really excels at drawing.
He is very good at that.
And It was good. I liked it a lot. I know Ron bought it. I know he enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had like a 13-book week, and of those books, this definitely was on the top of terms of I finished reading it. I'm like, wow, that was just fun. That was a romp.
Yes.
That was really
fun
good.
Is definitely the word for it.
Yeah, I mean, this was a comic book. This was a, I mean, not that they're not comic books, but you know what I mean? But this was a superhero-y comic book, and it was, you know, and definitely the training angle was really cool, and Scott McDaniel's art, which I've been kind of, you know, back and forth on, I actually really enjoyed. And it was just cool. It was a good
time. Yeah, some very inventive training methods. I mean, they're playing hide and seek with a gun. And
we used to do that with Dad.
And also, but like, I also
you
like
better
how,
come out.
Because they're filling in the blanks of 1 year later, which I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not reading all the DC books, so I don't know if any other DC books are doing this.
Not really, no.
Yeah.
This is one of the few that's actually holding to that sort of structure.
And what I think is cool is not only is it showing, you know, Green Arrow training with this master assassin who trained Deathstroke and blah, blah, but then it also plays into the how did he fund his political campaign.
Yes.
And why did he decide to run for mayor and, like, kind of some of the, you know, kind of...
The emotional angle of the whole one-year-later thing.
Yeah, and it was a lot of talk about the line, like what when you cross the line, you know, be it killing or stealing money from corporate entities and stuff like that, you know. So it was really really interesting.
Not stealing, but
you know, like playing with the stock market, because Oliver Queen funds his political campaign by using his business savvy with the stock market to raise billions. But what he did was he targeted all companies with defense contracts, like that build weapons. Because he's a crazy, you know, Green Arrow guy.
Super liberal.
Yeah, crazy liberal.
I found that his son, Connor, who is...
shares your namesake.
Yeah, he's a bit of a whiny bitch. So he was the one going on and on about the line and the line. Yeah. He's crossing the line. And he hasn't crossed any line. He hasn't even come close to any lines. They're just a... Kind of just a whiny bitch.
Well, no, but he's just a friend. Well, no, because there's the whole conversation between the stick like character, the trainer, and Green Arrow, and the trainer guy's telling Green Arrow how he will always fail because he refuses to, you know true victory. He refuses to, you know, he'll allow villains to escape with their lives, whereas the villains, you know, will not, you know, wouldn't do that. You know, they. You know, like he'll never truly be vindicated against his villains because he won't, you know, because he fears the guilt or the shame or the consequence of killing somebody.
Right, but until he actually does that,
right,
he's not crossed anyone.
But I guess Connor's concern is that by hanging out with this badass trainer dude that he's inching ever so closer, you know.
And the problem with that is there's a long history of heroes being trained by psychotic villains in the DC universe.
Yeah.
So, shut up.
All this doesn't sound terribly original.
There's no such thing as originality.
Yeah, who's
that's not true.
We're not sitting here saying this is the most I've never seen a superhero train before.
No, but like it's ever like, well, this is like how he trained. You're like the stick-like character and the whatever,
and that's why it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, but he's not stick. I mean, like the guy's not blind, and this guy's an assassin trainer. I mean, like there are little deviations from the formula that make it original, but it was well executed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And there's a guy that the trainer referred to as Fat Mr. Tuckman, which made me laugh.
I think one of the reasons that I stopped picking up the book is not because it was necessarily bad. It just was I keep adding more and more books, and that was one that I don't really think about. I don't really get excited. But I read it, I'm like, okay, that was pretty good. It was all right. But it didn't really make me, like, you know, super excited for any reason. So
that's fair.
I don't know. I cut it. But it wasn't because it was bad. I didn't stop reading. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't. I want a level of excellence.
I love Green Arrow. He's one of the few characters I've actually stuck with for, you know, since junior high school. So he's one of my favorite characters. Like, that's why, you know, I love... This is a big week for Green Arrow, actually. He was on his first real appearance on Smallville was this week.
Which I still need to watch.
Yeah.
I dig Green Arrow. I've always liked him. So
I like the crazy liberal crusader and the, you know... I must have some sort of affinity for the non-powered heroes.
You do, because you like the Batman, too.
Yeah.
But you hate the Connor Green Arrow.
Well, he's an annoying bitch.
I like
him. He's also known as being... He's like the best martial artist on Earth, which sort of gives him an edge of...
Yeah.
Which I don't always get in DC, if he's the best martial artist.
They don't show it that much.
I mean, who's supposed to be the best martial artist?
Connor Hawk, yeah.
Well, I thought Lady Shiva was or whatever.
Yeah, I thought Batman was.
No, I thought, but then didn't Robin beat Lady? Isn't there like some whole like Ultimate Fighting Championship
hierarchy
in the DC? Yeah, like
But it really hasn't been dealt with much since then. You never really see Connor Hawk doing much martial arts to justify him being the best. So all you see him is whining.
And I find it funny that, I mean, you know, that Green Arrow and Batman are similar in that they don't have powers and they both seem to collect sidekicks.
Yes. Well, they have a similar structure.
They can't protect sidekicks. They have no powers.
Right, so yeah, I guess.
Out of the race.
Well, it's not like Green Arrow sidekicks die like Jason Todd, but still.
He had a heroin addiction.
Yeah, but now he's in the Justice League. Redemption. Well,
He kicked it. Either way, though, he had problems.
Well, you know, Green Arrow had his sidekick who was like Robin, who broke away to form a new identity, like Nightwing, and then he's got Connor Hawk, who's like his Robin, and then he's got Speedy, who's like his Batgirl, so...
Yeah.
It's very similar in that sense.
Yeah.
If you're named Speedy, I don't blame you for breaking away and getting a new name.
Right.
How much cooler is Arsenal?
It's a cooler name, yes.
I actually don't like the name Arsenal.
It's better than Speedy.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm hoping that in Justice League it changes it to Red Arrow or something like
that.
What
does Speedy even mean?
I don't know, because there was no, like... We should go back and read the showcase issues or whatever.
You're very fast at shooting arrows. We will call you Speedy.
Yeah, I know. Like, or is he running around, you know, like the Arrow Cave or whatever.
The Flash just clucks his tongue at him.
Yeah. You're not fast.
What kind of speed are you talking about?
You don't know fast.
Although the worst sidekick of all time was Green Lantern's 1960s Eskimo sidekick.
He had a sidekick?
Pieface.
Whose name I can't remember. Pieface, that's right.
Oh, my God.
The racistest character in DC history.
Yeah. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
He's like, I fixed you plane real good. It's like, and you're reading it, and you're kind of wincing, going, oh, let's just move to the part where you talk about civil rights.
Oh, that's terrible. Awful. No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was a big Asian stereotype.
Wow.
So that was the Green Arrow pick of the week. God, it was a bad week of books. It was so disappointing.
It wasn't that
really,
bad.
He doesn't speak for the iFanboy collective.
Yeah,
I speak for me and for many people on our website who agreed with me.
On the continuum, like if one is a bad week and 10 is a fantastic week, I would give like this like week like a 4 or 5.
No. Oh, no.
Like I thought it was medium.
2 or 3.
I was in the 6 to 7 range. It was fine. Well. Did you guys not like Powers?
Powers is kind of like... Okay,
it was all right.
Powers is moving along on that same continuum where it doesn't get any better, doesn't get any worse. It just continues.
No, I know. It wasn't bad and all. The, you know, let's keep going through the other books and then.
Yeah. Well, the one book that aside from Green Arrow that stuck out for me that I probably would have picked if it was my week was Stan Lee meets Doctor Strange.
You would have done that show by yourself.
No. I know you guys are groaning at these Stan Lee books and the Spider-Man one. A lot of people liked, and I thought it was okay. Like I didn't think it was.
What is the premise of these Stan?
The premise
books?
Is that Stan came back, and Stan's written stories that put him in the Marvel universe where he interacts with a specific character, and then
did he script them too.
Yeah, he's scripting them too. Yeah, there's no unless they're lying, he scripted it. So, and. So it has him in, like, in the Spider-Man one, like, Spider-Man came to visit Stan because he was, you know, thinking of quitting, and Stan talked him into staying on as Spider-Man, like, that sort of thing. It goes back to the days of the 60s when the Marvel staff were in the Marvel Universe, you know, like...
They used to do that a lot.
They used to do that a lot, so... but the thing is that the story's only, you know, it's only, like, 10 pages or so, because Stan's old, and he can't write a 22-page story. But what's really cool, what really made the book really good is that it's got a bunch of backup stories, and then it also reprints a classic story from the character that the book is about. They did Spider-Man, this week is Doctor Strange, I think they're doing Hulk and Ben Grimm soon. So, you know, like the Spider-Man one was decent, but this one shows the potential. Like, this was a great book. It's kind of a little, you know, little short stories, but like the first one was Stan Lee, but the art was by Alan Davis. Who is one of my favorites? One of my all-time favorites. And it was inked by Mark Farmer, which for some reason Alan Davis is only good when he's inked by Mark Farmer. And the story's a little hokey, but that's Stan, and he's hokey.
Shocking.
He visits Doctor Strange because he hasn't seen him in a while, and turns out Doctor Strange is pimping out the Greenwich Village house with all this tourism and souvenirs and stuff like that. Because actually, it's quite expensive to be Doctor Strange, and his rent keeps going up, and Greenwich Village is expensive, and the insurance is insane.
He doesn't own that place.
Yeah,
you think he would own it by now?
No, he's renting.
Come on, by the hoary hosts of Hoggeth now.
But there's a lot of, and then Doctor Strange explains to Stan how hard it is to be him, and there's a lot of like making fun of that kind of dialogue, saying you know how hard it is to rhyme something with Hoggeth, And, you know, it was kind of funny. But then the second backup story was an Impossible Man story written by Bendis and drawn by Bagley. Which, do you guys know who Impossible Man is?
I don't remember.
He's that green and purple guy with the cone head kind of head who can make...
From Fantastic Four?
Yeah, he was Fantastic Four, yeah. And at the end of it, Stan, he returns to the Marvel Universe, and he freaks out because he finds out that he finds out everything that's going on. He finds out that there's a civil war, that the Fantastic Four are breaking up, that Avengers Mansion has been destroyed, that there are no more mutants, and he's just like, what happened to the Marvel Universe? And he demands to go see Stan. So he goes to the Marvel offices, and he can't find Stan, and he confronts Quesada, and Quesada's got, like, the Colbert Report on TV in the background, and they're, like, making up, you know, like, ideas for Max titles about poker, because poker's really popular. Like, it's a lot of, you know, self-deprecating poking fun, you know, and, like, Tom Brevoort's on the phone begging Mark Millar for a couple more Civil War pages. You know, so, like, there's a lot of, kind of inside baseball kind of humor.
I'm going to be honest with you. This book sounds terrible.
Oh, but if you're a Marvel zombie, it's fun. Then he goes to Hollywood, and he finds Stan Lee, and there's a whole line of superheroes waiting to bitch at Stan Lee, and it's, like, in front is, like, Quicksilver and Bucky and Beast and the Black Goliath character and all of Alpha Flight and Fing Fang Foom, who, you know, was humiliated in Next Wave, you know. So they're all pissed with how Mary Jane is there. They're all pissed with how they're being written, and they want to complain to Stan. And finally, he finds Stan, and he complains to him, and Stan explains to him that change is good, and just deal with it, and that we used to change the universe all the time. And then they even say, you know, besides, you're just the Mr. Mixelplick ripoff, which I thought was kind of funny that they actually, you know,
it's just Pitlick.
Yeah, they actually, you know. And then finally, but the one thing, the last backup story, which was just the two pager by Chris Giarrusso, who does the mini Marvels.
You love him.
Was genius because it was just a two-pager of Stan Lee as Principal Stan Lee, and the mini Marvels are in school and they come to him for advice, and Spider-Man's coming to Stan asking for help because he feels so guilty over his uncle's death, and you know, it's hard to pay the bills and you know, all the responsibility of being Spider-Man, and Stan tells him to, you know, take a night off, you know, like you need to relax and you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. And then at the very end, Harry Osborn comes in next as Green Goblin, and the last panel is, he goes, so I'm thinking about robbing a bank, and Stan Lee just says, tonight, do it tonight, because he just told Spider-Man to take the night off. Which,
yeah, this doesn't sound like a good comic book.
Yeah, thanks for...
And then finally there's
can we read people Calvin and Hobbes strips now? or maybe like, and then in the last one, Garfield says, I don't even like lasagna.
And then finally there's a backup Doctor Strange book written by Stan Lee and drawn by Barry Windsor-Smith from the 70s, which I think...
I like Barry Windsor-Smith.
Given our conversation...
Barry Windsor-Smith from the 70s? Like the...
No. It's a reprint. But oh. Given our conversation about Doctor Strange last week, I mean, this kind of shows when Doctor Strange was good. And the trippy kind of 70s thing. And Barry Windsor-Smith, I forgot how good his art was. And this art was really, really
good. He's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. So, I don't know. It's a good, I mean, for, you know, for $3.99, it's a pretty thick book, and it's got a lot of material in it, and it was fun.
It sounds to me like that Bendis story.
Yeah.
Is really just like a big F you to the fans who get mad at him.
Oh, yeah, totally.
There's, I mean, that's all it is. It's just like, by the way, you net trolls.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is for you.
Like when Impossible Man goes to the Avengers Mansion, there's a big fat guy with a goatee with a T-shirt that says "Not like this," and it's got Hawkeye's face on the back, and he's selling them. Like it's like so. I don't know. It totally is a big F you to the crazy fans who fear change. So I don't know.
Well, they can go to hell.
It was good.
All right.
It was fun.
Jeez.
Connor, well, let's stay with
the Bendis angle and talk about Ultimate Power number one, which I'm ashamed that I bought.
A lot of orgasm faces in that book.
I held it in the store for about 2 minutes, and I'm like, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I? I said, let me give it a shot.
I bought it because it was Bendis. Yeah, exactly. It was Bendis and Greg Land, when he used to actually draw and not just photo reference from pornography, was actually a good artist. And I kind of hoped it would be that Greg Land, but it wasn't.
It was so obviously not. I picked it up and thumbed through it last night, and I was like, oh. And like, every, like, fight face on the women, like, they all look different, but they all look in the throes of ecstasy.
I mean, what happened to him? Why? Why is he doing that?
Maybe he always was, and we just never noticed it.
No, he used to draw Nightwing, and he used to actually draw it. and it wasn't all photo referenced, and it was really, really good.
Well, yeah. Well, I think we can all agree. I mean, like the Greg Land stuff, it's awful. But I really, really wish they would leave Squadron Supreme alone.
Well, this is the Squadron. They've already done this Squadron Supreme.
Right.
This is JMS. Which was very good. That was one of the best books I read last year.
Yeah, but have you continued to read the books about him?
Well, no, because they went off the Max line.
Right. Yeah, but they just keep. I feel as if that was a really great thing, and I feel as if, you know, like, they keep going back to the well, and it just, like, let's leave it alone.
That was a great series.
Ah, JMS. It was slow.
It was very good.
Nah. I think most people liked it, from what I've heard.
Yeah. I stopped reading it only because I didn't like the fact that they decided they needed to be more reader-friendly or whatever and get off the Max line.
So are you going to continue buying this, sir?
No.
All right.
What was the story bad, too?
It was... It's hard to get through the story when you're looking at the art.
Well, the story was typical. I mean, it was like, you know, Reed Richards poking around in other dimensions, and oop, comes out people who want to fight. I mean, that's, you know, it's that kind of plot line. The only good thing about it was Carol Danvers. I just love when Carol Danvers pops up. I like her.
That name is such like a name out of like a Mark Trail strip from the 60s.
Carol Danvers.
Oh, it's Carol Danvers.
And a lot of people mentioned this on the website. This was pretty egregious. Is that the whole X-Men the First Class insert that's been in the Marvel comics? This one they insert in the middle of a double page spread.
Was it?
Yep. Look at it.
And when you're talking about Greg Land and you say double page spread,
yes.
You aren't kidding.
Ding. Is this on?
Yeah, that's the inserts are getting really intrusive.
This comic was bad news from top to bottom.
Bad news.
Keep complaining.
All right. Well, I bought Gen 13 number 1.
I don't know why.
I have no sympathy for you.
I this whole Wildstorm relaunch, for some reason, like a couple of weeks ago, I was all excited and I thought it would be pretty cool, and this was just awful.
If I slap Wildstorm relaunch on anything, you'll buy it.
I think so, at least for one issue.
Wildstorm relaunch of Ultimate Power number 1.
$4. I've tried Wetworks, and now I've tried Gen 13, and I will not be buying any of them anymore.
Did you like Gen 13 before?
Oh yeah, I bought the whole run of Gen. I mean, I didn't drop Gen 13 until like the early 2000s.
Yeah, but was it good?
No. It was good for a couple of years. I mean, the J. Scott Campbell years were of course really good, and then in the late 90s it got good again. Actually,
I bought the original run on it. It was good.
I mean, like, so it's, is it to me? Are they trying to recapture what they were then? Now,
well, yeah. The whole idea is that this is basically a complete and total reboot. So this is like, you know.
No, I know that, but what I'm wondering is it a new voice? Like, is it a new era? Like when they did Marvel Knights, or is it we're going to do comics like we used to do?
No, it's not. It's not a new voice like Marvel Knights or a new spin. But it's not like we're going to do comics like we used to do. It's like we're going to take the same ideas and do comics like we do them now.
Okay.
So, who's on the creative team?
But it's not
on?
Working.
Gail Simone is writing.
Oh, geez,
and
awful.
And Talent Caldwell is penciling, which is ironic because he or she sure don't have much talent.
Oh, no talent would have been funnier.
I believe he's an up-and-comer, but I think that's just because of his name.
You should have known just by seeing Gail Simone's name not to buy it.
I know, and I actually paused when I was like, oh, Gail Simone. But I was like, oh, let me give it a shot.
Well, that's fair.
Because people seem to like her, but I don't.
She's terrible.
Yeah. But yeah, but basically,
so are you going to not buy Wildcats then?
No, I will buy Wildcats. No, I'm going to give it.
You said you weren't buying anymore.
No, I said I'm not buying any more of this book.
Oh.
I'm going to continue buying the number ones on this Wildstorm because they're going to be worth something.
Oh God!
I'm kidding. I'm going to continue to buy them, but they got to be really good for me to keep on going. So, and plus, I don't know if we'll ever see Wildcats number one. So,
that's true.
Keep complaining.
X-Men, Uncanny X-Men was. I'm really close to dropping this book, and it's really disappointing.
I didn't think it was. I can complain about it, but I didn't think it was bad.
Ed Brubaker, this is not one that has worked for him.
I've liked it. I'm happy with Brubaker so far. I have no problems with Brubaker. My big
opinion is slanted.
My nitpick with this is that I don't know why they're trying to make Nightcrawler look like a Vulcan.
He does look like a Vulcan.
Like, Like,
you know, I don't even know if this is bad, but it's, I'm just not interested in the least in the space travel for whatever reason. And I don't know, I don't know if it's bad, but it doesn't feel to me like Ed Brubaker.
Yeah, it doesn't at all.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel, which I, you know, kind of is good for him, you know, because he's not being typecast, I guess. But can I just say that I almost put the book down because of the giant sword? Like, that sword is stupid. That belongs in a Final Fantasy game. Or at the very least, you know, like an epic weapon in Warcraft. It's just like, I don't want to look at it. It's ridiculous. It made me feel like, it was like, felt like pandering to me.
Yeah.
They were like, let's make it look like anime because the kids like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I so far I'm okay. I'm pleased. So.
Slanted.
Yeah. I was ready to, like, halfway through this, I was ready to say this is my last issue of this.
Yeah.
At the end, I did have a little bit of, well, wait, I want to know what happens.
Stick with it for the arc. Stick with it through
or
the arc.
Or I'll read yours.
Okay, or you can do that.
It's just boring up and down. The art is boring. The story is boring.
You're boring.
I don't know why I'm buying it. I'm only buying it because of it's the name Brubaker on the cover, and
go
I'm not enjoying it.
Go back to your bat books, okay? We don't want you in our universe, all right?
I like good X-Men books. This is just not one of them.
Complain! Okay,
Connor, Escapists.
I actually liked Escapists, and I almost picked it. The only reason I didn't pick it was because I thought it was the, not the worst issue of the four, but the least good.
Yes, I agree.
That's the same as worst.
No, it's not, because it wasn't bad. It was just...
It's still
like,
good, but it wasn't.
It was good. It wasn't
as good
as the others, and
nothing really
happened. You know.
Well, they set up the next movement.
Right. My problem with that is there's only two more issues. He's setting up. I feel like he's setting up too much, but then again, I don't know. You know, he's probably a good enough writer to pull it off.
I really like this, and I because maybe I'm looking at it as a larger picture. This is just the fourth part of six, and I'm not thinking of it in terms of issues. If I was reading this all at once. It would just be like setting up the. It's setting up the third act. It's setting up the end.
Yeah. I know, but I feel
climax.
Like he doesn't have enough time left to wrap up
all
the
plot
lines.
Why is it only six issues? Make it go on forever.
You can't speculate on that, though. I mean,
well, that's my feeling on it.
Well,
he keeps adding new dimensions, and I wanted to focus on the ones he's already brought up.
Well, I mean, a good writer raises the stakes. He makes it harder. I mean, that's what he's doing. I also really really dug the parts in this from the book. Yeah,
well, that's always
bits.
Been really good, yeah.
And yeah. I was like, ooh, that was a good twist. That was fun. I liked that.
You mean the story within? You were following that story.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I have been. I mean, you know how it follows the comic within the comic.
Right.
You know, mirrors the real world stuff. So you think that the girl's gonna betray him? I guess.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Isn't the dude from Box Office Poison in this?
What
is he?
Page 17.
Wow, they're numbered. How helpful!
I noticed that these are numbered. Oh yeah, it does look like him. I noticed that they were numbered, and I was like, you know, they should number comic book pages again.
If for no other reason than to help us in our podcast.
Exactly. I like the big phone bone hanging from the ceiling too.
Yeah, I dug this. I think it's just as good. I got no problem.
Yeah, no complaints from me, except that it's ending.
This was a good issue. You know what? If this does well, I can't imagine they won't keep going in some way. Maybe they will. See the back cover?
Yes.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
They got all those like faux covers and things like that. Just so that it's not a complete crap fest, and we're going to talk about one other thing after that, but I did want to say that neither of you two read either of these in issues, but the two Vertigo books that came out this week, Fables 54. Fables was an awesome issue. Had a backup story penciled by Mike Allred. Great art in it. It's starting off. I think it's the end of a thing, but it's starting off like a new chapter in the whole thing. It was great, and Why the Last Man was also very good. But there was one thing that Connor and I read, which there was no disagreement on.
It was awesome
about its complete and utter awesomeness. And the volume 7 of Invincible came out this week because we all read Invincible in trades instead of issue form. Because I don't know how you could read one issue.
No, I don't either. It's too bad we can't, from our own self-imposed rules, pick this, because this would be far and away the best book of the week.
Connor, what time did you start reading it?
I started reading it at 1 in the morning, because I'm stupid.
And what did you tell yourself?
I told myself I'd just read one issue, and that would be it. And then as I'm telling myself that, in the back of my head, my other voice is going, you can't just read one.
You cannot read one issue of Invincible, if you have more.
So I read them all from 1 to 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I read from about 12 to 1, something like that. So we were both tired at work the next day.
Yes. But, it, I mean, this was like, I don't know of any comic where, even Walking Dead, I read the last trade in like two parts. Mm-hmm. I put it down after an issue and said, all right, I'll pick it up again tomorrow. This one, you literally cannot drop it.
No.
You have to read it all the way through.
And he goes from, like, superhero action, and it's violent.
Yeah, it's bloody, really
it's a bloody.
Bloody
book. You go from superhero action to like, home, you know, like, drama with
family,
family
drama,
and
yeah,
stuff like that. And then characters come back from previously before, and, like...
I haven't read it yet.
Oh!
Based on your guy, because I saw it on the rack, and I didn't buy it because of financial, you know, I didn't want to buy a trade this week because I bought 13 books. And then based off your guys gushing last night when we were hanging out, I bought it, and I'm going to read it on the plane tonight. So that's my plan.
I think one of the things that I don't notice, in the final finished colored version of the book, the art is really, really good.
Yes.
And I think that's really clear. But the way that it's colored and inked, it doesn't always seem very detailed, I guess. And that's not bad. In its simplicity, it's really nice. But when you look at the back and there's a bunch of Ryan Ottley's sketches, like, his sketches are so detailed and rendered and interesting. This is a lot more behind these pages than I think you see in the final part. Like, if you look at his pencils... Like, especially for the cover.
Yeah.
Like,
I was just looking at the cover sketch, and the one with the dad punching the dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, like this guy's an amazing artist, and I'm really surprised, like, we don't know him more. Like, he's not...
I like him a lot. I mean, I've looked
at... I love his style.
I've looked at his pages.
My favorite art style.
I've contemplated buying pages of him, because he's really good.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Gonna...
In the middle of yours, is there a little, like... brochure,
yeah,
more great books from Robert Kirkman and Image Comics.
Yeah, I threw that
great
away.
Statue, by the way.
Oh my god.
Look
at
that, Invincible statue.
Yeah.
I get that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a great love triangle. I mean, this book has everything you could possibly want in a comic book.
For my money, I call this the best superhero book we got out there right now.
Yes.
Cool.
I say it's the best book.
You see, they got the big old hardcover coming out, the $150 hardcover. Did you see that?
No.
I think it's merging, like, everything into one volume so far or something like that.
Wow.
It's, like, ridiculously expensive, but it's supposed to be awesome. So,
is it oversized?
I think it might be. I'm not sure.
Ooh.
I heard him talking about The Walking Dead, because you know how you have the hardcover?
Yep.
He said the next hardcover is going to be, like, a year and a half away.
Fantastic. Thanks for
because it collect because the new one, the first one collects the first 12? No.
I forget.
24.
Right before they find the prison. It ended right as they find the prison.
Yeah. I think it's like 24 issues.
Yeah.
So the next one would do the next 24, but they're only on 31.
Right, yeah. It's going to be a while.
So do you want to read our copies?
No. I'll wait for the hardcover.
You're not going to remember who anybody is.
Yeah, well, I have a very good memory.
So there it is. Invincible is the best book there is.
So if you wanted to buy Invincible, you could go to comichold.com, which is where you could pick up all your great Marvel...
That's getting worse and worse.
Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and Image books. They're 40% off weekly issues, and you can pre-order books, and they'll send them to you each month. And they also have great trade paperbacks and hardcovers at 30 to 50% off. And great selection, and they've got a great guarantee to make sure that what you get is in good condition. So head over to comichold.com and mention iFanboy to let them know that you heard about them from us. So cool.
Because they like that.
Yeah.
They want you to do that.
All right, so let's do some email.
So there it was. People asked us to talk about more books, and we talked about a bunch of books and didn't like any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad it wasn't a better week.
It wasn't bad. I had a fine time.
It was terrible. I was going to hang myself.
This is all you have, huh?
Tie one end of the rope to the door handle, bring it over the other side.
That's kind of oddly detailed.
It happened in The Wire.
Oh, okay, sorry. Oh, there's our wire mentioned drink. So, anyway, okay, so our first email comes from Dave, who...
Did you just try to start an iFanboy drinking game? Oh my god, you did!
I'm hot in here.
Where are you guys going?
It was really cold. It was really cold last night.
It was cold. Get used to that now. It's gonna be
I know, the cold jokes. First email comes from Dave, who really didn't agree with us about the boys. And he says, we clearly have no idea about British people.
No, read it.
Wait, read it.
Read this.
You chumps clearly have no idea about British people.
You chumps clearly have no idea about British people. Probably why you don't like the boys, you just don't get it. It's a Garth Ennis comic. What were you expecting, for God's sake? I'm fine with Ennis taking three issues to set things up. If you guys ditch a title before it even gets going, that's your loss. Maybe I should ditch your podcast after one episode. Same deal. It's violent. It's angry.
Well, I think the immediate comparison is the comics to podcast comparison doesn't match because podcasts are free.
That's true.
You know, if I was paying $3.99 for a podcast, I'd be dropping a whole lot of podcasts. Yeah. Secondly, I mean, does Garth Ennis comics make up all British people?
Oh, Garth Ennis is Irish.
Well, yeah, there you go.
So, and Derek Robertson is from Northern California. So there's that.
And what else is wrong with this email, Josh?
Well, Connor and I happen to know a lot of British people.
A lot.
I read a lot of British comics. Lots of them. And they don't all just have ass fucking for the hell of it. But, you know. I'm still reading The Boys, though. I haven't dropped it. So
yeah, I haven't dropped it either.
I dropped it because it's shock value for the sake of shock value.
Yeah. Style without substance?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
It's a bad comic.
I agree with Connor, but I'm continuing to buy it to at least see
You know what Ron's never said?
What?
It's bad, and I'm not reading it anymore.
Gen 13! That works!
You'll buy it.
I'm mailing them back to Jim Lee and saying I want my money back.
Yeah, like you're secretly still buying Moon Knight. Go over to your house and knock over a stack of Gen 13 books.
I don't want to talk about
I didn't.
It.
What is that?
That's not.
I learned it by watching you!
All right. Our next email comes from Brandon, who ironically wants to pick up some trades by Garth Ennis. But he's not sure if he should go with stuff from Preacher, Hellblazer, or Punisher. He's read some of the Punisher in the past and liked it. The Constantine movie was okay. He heard Preacher is his best. Where's a good place to start? Any specific trades?
If you liked Constantine, which Garth Ennis really, what that means is they cribbed the story from one of Garth's Hellblazer stories.
Yeah, that's all he did.
There's a really good Hellblazer story drawn by Jamie Delano before before Steve Dillon came on, and it's about I have it right here. Hold on, looking at it. It's called Dangerous Habits, and in it, John Constantine gets lung cancer, and then has to trick the devil to heal himself.
Which is the crib for the movie.
Yeah, sort of, but it's much better. It's really good. That's one book, because the thing is, if you want to read Preacher,
you got to do the whole thing.
You got to get nine books.
You can't read. That's like
you won't be able to. You like Invincible, you won't be able to put it down.
It's like watching the first episode of Lost.
When I started reading Preacher, it was literally like crack. I finished one trade, I'm like, I need the next. Like I would run out to the comic store to get the next one.
I remember being 3 or 4 in the morning and like finishing in the fifth and sixth books. There was no stopping.
Yeah.
Somebody at work gave me the first two and told me to take them home over the weekend and read them. And I did, and then that Monday I ordered the next 6.
Yeah, it's
online without even...
I remember that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
Preacher's awesome. If you wanted a little shorter, lighter kind of thing, how about here's a story that's very funny but not over the top, the Hitman books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are Garth
which
Ennis
are coming... I think they're starting to reprint them in trade, I heard, I think.
Good.
Yeah, so...
Good, they're awesome. They didn't finish them.
And finally, Brandon wants to know what we thought of Alan Moore's run on Swamp Thing and Frank Miller's 300.
Those are maybe two of the best comic stories ever written.
Yes. And
in Josh's opinion.
And
you guys haven't read Swamp Thing.
300, no. I've read Swamp Thing.
I have not.
You have?
Yeah, not everything. I've read it here and there. I've read a couple
of I have the 5 trades of it. Both of those books are really good examples of just really well-crafted comics. You know, like a Ferrari is a well-crafted car?
Yep.
Alan Moore's Swamp Thing is a beautiful comic. It's done really, really well. And Frank Miller's 300,
well,
even better.
I think Frank Miller's 300 is different from regular comics. I mean, both in subject matter and in style and in storytelling and stuff like that. But
sure.
It's just, it was, I mean, it was like an amazing piece of art.
Yep.
You know, like art as storytelling.
And it was a really good story, too.
And if the movie, the movie looks really, really good.
Read the book before the movie comes out,
absolutely.
Just in case.
Absolutely.
But when I look at 300, like that is – like the coloring in that, that's the best coloring I've ever seen in graphic novel or whatever.
Really good. So.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks, Brandon. Our next email comes from Steve, who's been catching up on the old podcast, and he wants to know why one of you keeps calling Galactus Galacticus. And that's completely me.
Shocker.
And it's my fault.
Ron can't talk.
I don't know why.
This was one of those.
Somewhere in the 80s, I started referring to him as Galacticus, and it just never ended. Because for some reason, the letters Galactus to me sound like Galacticus. I put an I in there. I don't know why.
He can spell it, but he can't say it.
I know it's Galactus, but for some reason.
You know what's scary?
What?
There are people listening to the old podcasts.
That is really freaky.
No, well, what's funny is that, like, I was looking, and more people have downloaded the first one than, like, any of the other old ones. It's not a good episode.
We hope it's not.
I mean, literally, you hear us be like, is this thing on? Can we go?
Well,
I'm Ron. I mean, no, I'm Josh. I didn't buy any books for the first 2 months of the show.
We remember.
Yeah, no. Well, speaking of that, our next email comes from Matt, who's a big fan of ours in Denver, and he's been listening to the podcast since day one, and he thinks they've been great, despite the early ones being bad. He really likes the broad approach to the discussion with the audience.
They were bad. They were raw.
And how we bring them up to speed on subject matter and don't assume we are only quote-unquote fanboys. His question, though, is interesting. He wants to know why we hate eBay, and he's not going to hold it against us, and don't take the fact that he actually works at eBay from keeping us from being honest. But what would make it better, and do we have a better site or a better way to buy and sell on the web?
We've got a big misunderstanding here.
I'm confused.
We hate eBay?
I don't know. What?
What?
We hate eBay? When did that happen?
Did we say we hate eBay?
I don't remember
Here's what happened.
Okay, what happened?
Here's what I think happened, is that we said something about such and such a comic, and then we're like, and then they're just going to go put it up on eBay.
Right.
We don't like... I think collectively I can speak for all of us. We're not speculation fans. We're not fans
gouging.
Of buying comics to gouge other people and get them signed and then throw them up on eBay, because that kills the industry.
Slabbed.
As we saw.
Slabbing.
That's what eBay's for. eBay's great.
eBay's awesome. In fact, I believe we've recommended people go seek out back issues and, like, you know, fill out their collections with eBay.
As long as you're not getting gouged.
In fact, Josh, even weren't you going to sell your Ultimate Spider-Man on eBay?
I was, which would make me a giant hypocrite. Although, no, or it would make me be take advantage of the people who want to throw their money away.
Right.
But
hypocrisy or not, you decide.
No, but we like.
We don't. Nothing wrong with eBay.
We sell on eBay. We buy on eBay. We're pro eBay. So.
It's not any different than Ollie Queen.
Right.
So
I would be selling the speculator books in order to fund being able to buy new good books.
So, Matt, if you're listening, we like eBay, and if you want to forward this to your advertising department, I'd love to hear from them. finally, he has one last question that says, okay, you know, role play, you're the CEO of DC or Marvel. What one thing do we do to save the industry, and does it need saving?
No,
it doesn't.
I don't think it needs saving, but if I was, I would work more with libraries and the kids problem. Because they say they do.
The distribution is probably the biggest problem.
That's the one thing that needs saving, and that's not up to DC or Marvel. Yeah.
However, it should be noted that right now the industry is in the best health it's been in the longest time in recent
memory. It's doing great. It's doing great. But
when we all started doing this a long time ago, it needed saving.
Right. The stupid diamond monopoly is probably the biggest problem and the kid problem. But so.
I don't want kids in the comic shops.
Anyway.
They're dirt. They smell.
Yeah.
Plus, I trip over them. I don't see them.
The whole thing with kids is that, like, we got into it as kids. Like, imagine if we were kids now, we wouldn't be into comics.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's why I worry.
But you know what? The biggest reason
I believe the children of the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Do you show them all the beauty they possess inside?
You know, we're going to have to pay Dionne Warwick for this.
That was Whitney Houston.
Whatever. No.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, Christ. If someone can write in and tell us that, don't. Cause
just
embarrassed.
Don't, because I really would rather forget the past 2 minutes. All right, our last email comes from Hub, who wants to know if we pick our guest appearances by looking around and saying, quote unquote, who is the most annoying presence you could possibly imagine? Okay, let's go get him. Wow, take the reins off your show, guys. These guests are stomping all over everything, and it gets extremely old really fast. Don't be afraid to hang up on them. When do Carrot Top and Gilbert Gottfried get their shot? Oh yeah, I love the show.
First of all, I love Gilbert Godfrey.
I was just going to say, if we could get Gilbert Godfrey, I would be so psyched. That would be awesome. Josh, please don't do his voice.
I don't think I can. Can tell me being quiet. I was like, do I have it?
I was like,
Don't do it.
don't you? So there was a lot of reaction to Jonathan's guest spot last week.
A lot of very very, very sensitive. Everybody got very worked up over it.
But what's
it went both ways, though.
Some people liked it. Some people hated it. But, Josh, you have an interesting statistic about this, right?
Okay, I did the math. Now, he wrote the sentence. Let's see. These guests are stomping all over everything and get extremely old really fast. Okay, these guests. We are on episode 51.
Yes.
Let's just, for roundness sake, say last week was episode 50, because it was. And we've had two guests. So let's see. That's 4%. 4% of the shows have had, we've had two guests out of 51 episodes.
More than that. Really, we didn't count some of the other episodes as well.
Yeah.
You better slow down, guys. You know, sometimes we got to switch it up or we get bored. We don't like each other.
Exactly. So
it's hard to pretend like I care what they have to say for an hour a week.
Yeah. So anyway.
No, but really, I mean, people need to calm down. It's only been two shows where we've had guests on. It's not like it's a regular feature. And if you didn't like it,
we're going to do it sometimes.
Yes.
And honestly, we only have on people that we like. Exactly. So if you don't like them, that's just, you know, you're lost for that week. You go on next week, they won't be there again.
Yeah. That's the great thing is that the next week, what we're going to never do is it's not going to be like guest after guest after guest after guest. You know what I mean?
No. Every once in a while, we put somebody on.
Exactly. So, and the great thing is you don't have to listen to it. But keep downloading, keep subscribing. So, okay, cool. So if you want to email us, you can send an email to contact@ifanboy.com. We love the emails, and we like reading them. It's a bright spot in our dreary days.
This is like the most depressing podcast ever.
Connor's
trying to hang himself. He doesn't have good comics. If we don't get emails, we kill it. We get depressed.
Please, I check every 2 minutes. Did someone write us? Do I have mail? Anyway, so voicemail. We got a few voicemails this week, and our first one comes from Gomer.
Yeah, what's up, iFanboy? This is Gomer in Nashville. Just listened to weekly podcast, Criminal Number One, Pick of the Week. I have to say, the heroin addict with Alzheimer's, greatest character ever. Peace.
Thanks, Gomer.
Okay.
I actually have thought more about Criminal since the last show, where I was kind of lukewarm on it, and I like it more than I think about it.
Is it because of the heroin-addicted Alzheimer's guy?
Yes, exactly.
That's pretty cool.
He was funny. That was a good character.
He was good, and I like the faking seizure guy in the subway. So our next voicemail comes from Darren from California.
Hello, sirs. This is Darren from Murrieta, California, calling in. First off, just wanted to say I love the show. I just started listening this past weekend. Have since listened to episodes 47 through 50. I'm loving every minute of it. I heard about your show through Geek Drone, so I was pretty stoked to hear Jonathan on episode 50. Yes, he is a douchebag, but hey, so am I. At least I'm in good company, right? Now, on to my question at hand. I, being a big Green Lantern fan, pose this to you. Who would win in a fight between Earth's five main Green Lanterns? Those being Jon Stewart, I believe, yes, of course. Guy Gardner, Alan Scott, pre-Starheart, Kyle Reiner, Ion now, and Hal Jordan, pre and post. What's it, Sparalak and Texter? Spectre, I'm sorry. Anyways, I will leave it at that. You guys have a good evening.
It's been a while since we got one of these questions. Connor?
Who would win in a fight? Hal Jordan.
It's like he doesn't even need to think about it. Why?
Because he's the man.
All right, there you go.
I got tired listening to that.
There's more of the Green Lantern.
Yeah, there was a lot of them.
Alan Scott might put up a good fight, but the rest...
Well, I'll just get a 2x4.
Or a popsicle stick.
You're right, yeah, or a toothpick.
You poke him with a sharpened...
A pencil.
Yeah.
He's got the experience on his side.
I'm going to go with Nort.
Was Nort a choice?
Or Kilowog?
I'm going to go with Nort.
Kilowog.
Yeah.
So.
Guy Gardner's not even a factor.
Really?
No.
I thought you would dismiss Kyle Rayner before you dismissed Guy Gardner.
I didn't even mention him, if you know.
Kyle Rayner is actually badass.
He's already been dismissed. So, all right. Well, thank you, Darren. And we're glad to have you as a listener.
And Jonathan is a douche.
Our next caller is Logan from Kentucky.
Hey, guys. This is Logan from Kentucky. Been listening to your podcast a little bit for the past few episodes. I've been enjoying it quite a bit. Up until your 50th episode, I don't know if it's me or just, you know... Anyhow, I didn't really care for your guest, Jonathan London. He seemed to be very L.A., very interrupting, really wanting to dominate the entire podcast. I really enjoy all you guys and how you banter with each other, but it seemed like this guy just wanted a little bit too much attention. Maybe it's an L.A. thing, I don't know, but I found him pretty obnoxious, in my opinion. Anyhow, keep up the good work, guys, but if you keep getting guys on there like Jonathan London, who I didn't care for very much, could be just my opinion, but have a good one.
I think he threatened us. Because you keep getting guys like that, and I I don't know. I can't be responsible.
Polarizing.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's an LA thing.
You know what?
I think it's definitely
an LA thing. I thought interrupting and wanting to be dominated in conversation was a New York thing.
I know.
I think people from Kentucky have something against people from LA.
I think I detect that.
Now, I'm no longer from LA, but I think I take offense.
I thought LA people were more laid back and not as interrupting. I thought the whole stereotype. Plus, Jonathan's from Austin, Texas, so.
Yeah, so. You know.
Well, they think they own the friggin' world.
Well, so, Logan, just rewind a couple of minutes to hear our thoughts about our guests. So, not to worry.
But let me just say that, you know, like, we really appreciate people telling us what they think.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, as much as this is our show, this is your guys' show, too. And
you know, and it actually takes guts to call in and leave your voice on here at the mercy of us.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't edit it. Whatever you send, it's recording. It's sending to us. So thanks for writing, for calling in and writing.
I like the deep sigh he took early in the episode. It was just like the pause. It was great. I just didn't
care. Let me
tell you, I just didn't care for him.
I related to that. No, wait, that's not what I mean. I just mean with you guys. Oh, forget it.
But nonetheless, nothing against. Actually, Geek Drum is a fun podcast. And
yeah, we like Jonathan.
Yeah,
so.
It's actually, you know, they're good. They're good kids. So not to worry about it. All right.
But he still will fight any of you.
So yes, he will. He's waiting. Actually, he's waiting for somebody to take him up on his challenge. So
it sounded like that guy.
Yeah, maybe. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. So what else do we got on our plate?
The Frapper map pretty much exploded since last week.
Exploded!
So much so that I don't even know how many we gained.
Yeah, we gained a lot. We broke 400, didn't we?
Without even blinking. We turned around and we broke 400 and blown past it. So I'd say we got 30 pins.
Jesus.
So that's a lot. A
lot of people. So go to frapper.com/ifanboy and check out all the people who joined. And
like Collector's Kingdom in somewhere.
What an unfortunate name.
Dan Buxa of North Babylon, New York. Joseph Varys,
Babylon, the heart of it all.
Chicago, Illinois. Rob from Burbank. Chester Law from Hong Kong. Amber from New London, New Hampshire. Garrett from Seattle, Washington. Woozy, which is how I feel, from Chesterfield, Virginia. Greg Durham from Benton Harbor, Michigan. David G. from Decatur, Georgia. And others. Lots of others.
Hey, did you notice how we didn't point that girl out? Not even for a second.
If you want to put a pin in the map, www.frapper.com/ifanboy, or go to ifanboy.com in the upper right-hand corner, click on the link, put in your pin, say hi, tell us where you're from.
frappr.com/ifanboy.
So, and also, don't forget to head over to ifanboy.com when it's up to check out the discussion over there, and check out the Connor's Pick of the Week review and see what everybody else thought of their books this week. And if you haven't chimed in, let us know what you bought this week and what you're buying next week and what you're into and what you're digging.
You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave us a voicemail, 1-888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697, or you can send us an MP3 if you don't want to call.
Yeah.
Which some people have done, and it's been cool. Send us comments or questions, or
you can edit those.
More complaining about the guests or not.
Complain.
This week, be like, where's your guest? I listened last week, and there was a guy, and now it's just you three.
There's been
bumpkins.
50 episodes of you guys. I'm bored of you. Somebody else.
I think we've alienated people this week.
This is what happens when you do it in the morning. I guess you go to... I'm starting to lose it. You can go to myspace.com/ifanboy. You can be our MySpace friend.
MySpace.com.
Why would you want to do that?
Because we're friends. And also, if you like the show, you can go to Podcast Alley or Podcast Pickle or iTunes or whatever, and you can vote for us or leave a review or whatever. And you know, tell your friends and your comic book store. And
that really helps us get the word out about the show.
Yeah, and actually, I was futzing around on the web, and I was on a message board, and I saw somebody actually put a link to us in their SIG on a message board,
which is awesome.
Futzing around on the web translates to looking for myself. Let's come on.
So if you like us enough to do that, we thank you. And if you do that, write in and let us know, because we want to thank you personally.
Yeah, but thank you for all that support and all that stuff.
Yes.
That didn't sound sincere, but it was.
Yeah, and speaking of support, if you really like us, you can donate some stuff to us, stuff being money, at ifanboy.com/donations, where you can, you know, we got a couple of PayPal links and you can subscribe to the show or a couple bucks. I know we've been talking a lot about the stuff that we've got coming, but we're working on cool stuff for the iFanboy world, and every dollar helps.
We've started spending your money, so we need more.
So we need more.
We do. But that would be very helpful if you like the show and you wanna support it, that would be good.
Yes.
Well, that's it, boys. I need food.
I need to do laundry.
Josh, what do you need?
Love. Talent.
Talent. You can call
warm bed to lay my head in at night, and a sky to look down upon me and warm my brow.
You can call Talent Caldwell, and he'll give you some talent.
Yeah.
Not so much.
I'm not bad-mouthing him. I didn't see his work, and I can't make any more enemies.
Well, my Heinberg gambit didn't really work out, so I need to find a new.
Do you know how small you and we are on Alan Heinberg's radar?
Damn it, Heinberg!
He took a swat at a bug flying by his face, and he spent more time thinking about that than your useless shout-outs to the man.
Oh, well. All right, well, that wraps it up. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.
And we'll
I'm Eeyore.
Talk to you next week when hopefully we've got less complaining and more sleep.
Well, listen, if the books were better.
Yeah, damn it. Well, our damn fault. It, comic book companies!
You should read Invincible.
I'm going to right now.
Makes everything better.